So I've been doing surveys up here, and I've been saying, hey, why are you here? What are you hoping to get out of this thing? And y'all are like the most, like, easygoing crowd, and the scariest crowd, too, by the way, in this whole place. Bunch of athletes. And the title is Bigger, Faster, and Stronger. I'm none of those things. Okay, so you're wondering, like, who in the world is this guy? Why did I come to this talk so I can listen to this dude up here talk about faith, maybe a little bit of athletics? And so I want to share a couple of things with you, all right? First, I am a follower of Jesus. That's kind of, they don't let you talk here if you're not, as disclaimer. Okay, I'm a follower of Jesus. I did not grow up in a church, though. Part of my story is that a friend who also played football with me in high school invited me to go to church. We were in geometry class of all the things, right? Miracles can happen in geometry class, okay? But, you know, there's a vote going out for that. All right, another thing. I am married to Kristen Newell. She is amazing. She is now actually Dr. Kristen Newell because she got her doctorate of education. She's awesome. And we together have four kids. Yes, we are crazy. Four kids, Addison, Josiah, Naomi, and Evelyn, not actually in that order. And so that you can kind of get an idea of what they look like. Boom. That's not it. All right, look at that. Everybody go, oh. Oh, look at that. It's so good. Okay, so Kristen is obviously in front of me. Josiah, he's right there. He plays baseball. Any baseball players in here? All right, a couple baseball players. He loves pitching, man. He, like, goes to the next pitch like a champion. He forgets what happened just before. I could never do that. Addison's right in front of him. All right, Addison's our creative type, but she's super fast in a straight line. I'm just being specific, okay? Straight line. Side to side, not so much, okay? But in a straight line, and she's like, oh, I'm so slow. And she's like, there's a boy faster than me in my class. I'm like, Addison, you're faster than everybody. Okay, so then we got Naomi on the bottom down there. She loves gymnastics. Any gymnasts in here? All right, there's like three of you because it's hard. Just saying. Okay, awesome. And then Evelyn is being held by Kristen because she's probably going to be a boxer, okay, or mixed martial arts. All right, she owns the house and does like to punch you in the face every once in a while. Okay, so whenever we're getting out and about, this is in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Anybody? Okay, there's three all over here. That's good. So this is actually the Badlands. I lied to you. On the way back from the Black Hills, and what you don't know is the kids were trying to die off the cliff right behind us, and we had to save them, okay? Because they climb, they love to do things. And it's not always just, like, formal. Sometimes we look like this, okay? Which is, you know, my son, we said, make a funny face. And that's as normal as he's ever looked. So, yeah, I don't know what to do with that. But, yeah, so funny. Now, as was mentioned, I am a native Houstonian, which is why I had to buy the shirt, because Nolan Ryan would have punched me in the face if I didn't. All right, this is a throwback. Houston Astros. Yeah. The trash cans are over there, people. The whole wall full of them. All right, yeah. So, yes, we do have an identity problem. Everybody thinks we're cheaters now. We're trying to redeem it, okay? We're trying to redeem it. All right, we'll get there. But this is what we do to beat the heat, all right? I can't invite all of you over to my parents' house. They do have a pool. We've been having fun together. So this is family life, guys. This is a glimpse of Billy Newell today whenever we're trying to get out and about and enjoy ourselves. Now, I did say, maybe it wasn't said yet, I actually have been an athlete, okay? And I don't know if anybody would make any guesses, but yeah, I did play football. Any football players? A couple football players. Yes, I'm small, okay? But I'm lower to the ground. There's leverage there. You guys know what I'm talking about, okay? I also ran track. Any track runners? Yeah. I never beat 5 minutes in the mile, but I did run a 205-800, so not yesterday. I'm just saying, it was not yesterday, okay? So there's a little bit there. Now, I didn't show any pictures primarily because of this next sport, diving, okay? You don't want to see that, just saying. All right, but I wasn't diving. All right, any divers in here? Are you for real? Yes! You can pike like a champion, I bet, man. That's what I'm saying. Okay, never mind, that's too far. Okay, went too far. All right, and then when I wasn't diving, I was also swimming. Okay, any swimmers? I know there's a swimmer over here. That's right, there's a swimmer over here. Okay, Now, I didn't figure out what Stella does for a sport, but she's hanging out in here. And maybe does Stella play baseball? No. Stella doesn't play baseball. No. Softball, though.
What?
All right, softball and baseball. Anybody? Okay. Yeah, I played catcher, so there's that. No catchers. One catcher. Two catchers. You're sitting next to each other. That's unusual. So there's usually only one. All right. So there's three catchers over here. I'm sorry. I missed you. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? No. Okay, never mind. All right. So we'll talk about that part later in the talk. Okay. Cross country. Perseverance, endurance, run the race, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Now, this one's going to be a shock to people, I know, but I did, in fact, play basketball. Yeah. The catch with that one is I waited till I was at the seminary when we were old and slow. Okay, so, and I'm short. You know, it's a thing. All right, so, and then more likely these days, if you're going to see me out and about doing things, cycling, anybody? BMX racers? I did race BMX back in the day. Yeah, they're like, that's a bike, dude. We're doing other things. Okay, so that got nothing. All right, and then what's this other one? Oh, triathlon. Anybody? Someone's raising their hand in the back. Triathlon, for real? Anyway, I can't tell what you're saying now because you're so far away. Hello! Okay. All right, and then that's not a sport. Never mind. Just kidding. Yeah, we got some musicians in the house. All right. You know, we can bleed a little into other extracurricular activities, okay? All right, and now maybe we'll come in to play later. Now, I didn't get all the sports. So soccer? All right. Okay, we got some soccer players in here. Wait a minute, I was missing something. Hold on, lacrosse? Is that a thing? I love how excited. Volleyball! Oh, yes! Bump, set. Kill it! Spike, Spike, don't kill it. Kill, Spike. I'm learning. I'm still learning. Okay, what'd I miss? All right, hold on, I got it. We're gonna say it on three. One, two, three. Golf! I played golf. How did I forget that? That's so terrible. I'm bad at it, so that's probably why I try to forget it. Okay. All right, so here's what you've learned about me, though, in a short period of time. I am, in fact, a jack of all trades and a master of none. Master of none, right? Like, I love sports. Oh, that's good. That's so good. That may come up later. All right, So, that's so good. So, yeah, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none, which has been an issue, right? Because I'm like, oh, I'm trying to excel in all these different things, and I was okay at all of them. But not great at any of them, right? Like, so, that had its own struggles. But going through all of those sports, I feel like I have a decent idea of the life of an athlete. So, I'm going to try to describe what I think I know. You can affirm it. Or you can be like, now you're way off base, all right? So here's what we're going to try to do. So there's a sports life part of this thing, okay? Well, what do you got? You got practices every day in most cases. You got drills that are on your own at home sometimes in certain sports. You got to eat, okay? Right? You guys eating? So you got to eat. You got to refuel. Okay, specialty training, rehab from injuries. Anybody had an injury out there? Okay. It's a thing. It happens. You shouldn't be so excited about that. You got crutches, though. You're owning it. I see over here. And it's for her. Okay. You just supporting. That's good. You need support. It's a village. Okay, to rehab. I pulled my hamstring recently playing softball. Okay. All right, and so then you got to eat. And then scrimmages. Game day comes around, maybe tournaments. And then you got to eat. Okay, that's the hardest part of everything, eating enough to keep up. Okay, did I miss anything? Right? Playbook? You got to study playbook, anybody? A couple people? Sleep! You sleep every once in a while. What is sleep? It's this thing that you may learn about after the gathering. Okay, so what else is there? Student life. Okay, there is a student part of the athlete thing, right? Okay, so what do you got? You got homework, you got assignments, you got projects, exams. Okay, study halls, maybe. All right, you got other kinds of... You got clubs maybe you're a part of. We already mentioned choir, band, musical, theater, all of these things. And I will say, I do think that one of the skits from last night did a really good job of showing like the competing voices sometimes that are trying to draw your attention and trying to lobby for the real estate of your time and your energies and your efforts, right? And it can be a lot. All right, so then what? Oh, college visits. Anybody do a college visit already? A few of you? That's not stressful at all, right? Just fun. You got to go with your parents too, and they're not pressuring you at all. I know that doesn't happen. So, all right, faith life. What are we supposed to do? We all know these things. If you're a churchgoer or you're a Christian, you've heard it before. Worship, Bible study, youth group, service events, mission trip, you know, off season, okay? Take advantage of time you can invest in your relationship in Jesus. None of that's new, right? Right. We give lip service to it. It's all there. But it does also compete for your time and your energies and your efforts, okay? And then there's home life. I just put a question mark right there. Because let's face it, all of you, each of you, have a different home life. I can't even guess. I mean, I can describe one, okay? But I will assume that for some of you, home may not be the greatest place of encouragement and peace for you, okay? Particularly some athletes who are attempting to excel. Maybe some of you are trying to go to the next level and let sports be a way that you can go to college and get scholarships and all these things. And I'm guessing that for some of you, you've got a parent coach who maybe it feels like they actually add more pressure on. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. Some of y'all, your parents are here, so it'll be awkward. Okay? But it can happen, right? The parent-coach dynamic. And if that's not something that is healthy and done really well, then that can be an added source of pressure, okay? So one thing that we're all really good at doing as athletes is learning, in the midst of all of this pressure, how to suffer, okay? Now, here's what I mean. Like, your job, and this was kind of in the blurb, right, that got all of y'all here. Okay, I just had to say athlete, y'all showed up, so good. All right, so what are you supposed to do but learn how to suffer more and more and more and deal with it while still performing, right? And so your whole job, you're practicing, you're working out, you're trying to increase your tolerance for suffering so that you can then perform on the field, on the court, whatever the field of play is for you, okay? And then obviously, the ideal situation is that you suffer so well that you succeed and win, right? Or you're at least improving, okay? Now, to do that, I think that you have to combine both physical abilities and mental abilities. So to illustrate that a little bit further, I'm actually going to need people that can do push-ups. Some of y'all are like, I did not come here to do push-ups. I ain't doing it. All right. Now, hold on. I'm going to need 4 females and 4 males. We're going to see how this works out. All right, so you had to do these push-ups. You couldn't do it on your own. You had to work as a team. You had to overcome a challenge. It was a mental dilemma as well as a physical dilemma, right? But working together, you could do something that maybe you couldn't by yourself. It's the stuff that we're all trying to figure out, right? But what I've heard most commonly as I'm surveying people, some of the athletes from my church and many of you, I've just been asking random people in the hallways, you know, like what's going on in your life as an athlete and what would you want to hear about in terms of faith? And you speak into this struggle with balance of all of life's demands, honoring God, not feeling distant from God. And the reality is many of you are having to choose your commitments to your sport and your team, your teammates, over the things that typically, I'll say it this way, the things that typically help you to grow in your faith, to strengthen your relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And so as I was serving one of our athletes, she just was open. Like, there's a lot of tournaments that are over the weekend. And I find myself trying to go to worship as much as possible, but when the tournament bleeds into, which, what happens when you make the championship in the tournament? You play on Sunday, right? Yeah, so it's like you're trying to succeed, and when you succeed, then what does it cost you in terms of your relationship with your Savior? That was like not wanting to come out. You notice that right there? I'll own it. I got to work on the speaking thing too. Okay. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want to take you to a place. Because ultimately what we're usually doing is we're suffering as sinners. Okay? We're usually suffering as sinners. And in the most general kind of way, that means that we're really just trying to like achieve things that bring us a short-term kind of pleasure, acknowledgement, like affirmation that we've done something well, okay? And it honestly feels good. Let's be real. Like, man, pick six and everybody's cheering. It's like, I did that? Yeah. And then you're going, oh, yeah, but thank you, God. Like, you're trying to figure this thing out and live in that tension, okay? But when we're solely leaning into the thing that is elevating the temporal accomplishments, like we're suffering as sinners, and it begins to wear on us, where we begin to feel anxious, we begin to sometimes feel depressed about like the accomplishments that we're striving for, but we're not getting them, so then what foundation do we have to stand on after that, okay? All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. That's right, we're going to be in the Bible today. I call it the prodigal because there's a whole lot of prodigal going on. It's not just one. It's not just one son, okay? I got this baby Bible up here. Sorry, guys, it's going to be a difficult... Okay. But you guys, Luke chapter 15. Thank you. I want you to be there because we'll point out a couple of verses that, you know, if you've got a pen or something, you can highlight. I know somebody over here has got a gold Sharpie. Not that they have a signature on their forehead or anything now. Okay. But if you got something that will work, try, you know, pick something that won't bleed through. That would be best. All right, so this is Luke chapter 15, and the story here really starts at verse 11, okay? And I'm going to paraphrase certain parts of it, and then I want to point out some key moments, okay, for each of us to lean into for a second. Because if we're dealing with the reality that the pressures we're experiencing and the commitments we have are challenging our ability to feel like we're walking in step with Jesus, but that we're actually distancing ourselves from him, like this is where it's at right here, okay? So this is Jesus speaking. All right, Jesus is telling a parable to describe how the kingdom of God works. All right, he's describing the Father, okay, through this parable. That's important to mention. It's a made-up story. All right, y'all with me? Yes, okay, a couple people in the front row. In the back, like, I'm going to come back there in a second. Okay, and double check. All right, so what happens? It says that there is a father who has two sons. How many sons? Two sons. One is older, and by default, one is younger, okay? And so the younger son comes to the father, and he says, I wish you were dead. That is a paraphrase version. What he said was, I want my inheritance. And when do you normally get your inheritance? When someone dies, okay? That's not really a cool thing to say to your parents. I'm just going to throw it out there, okay? Don't go home and say that, okay? So, I want my inheritance. I'm going to take it with me. I'm done. And so what does the father do? He gives it to him. He says, okay, if that's what you think you really want, here you go. So the younger son takes the inheritance, he travels off to a far land, and he begins to spend it. Like, he begins to go after all of it. Like, I mean, he's finding all kinds of temporary fulfillment and glory, whatever you might say. Like, he's got new friends now that think he's rich because he's just spending money recklessly, it says. That's one moment the prodigal thing pops up. He's just being reckless with what God has given to him, what the Father has given to him. And he's gone far off from God. He's gotten all kinds of distracted about what it looks like to live in the midst of the Father. Okay? And so there's a huge separation, and it says he squandered everything. He is now so broke that he's working for a pig farmer as a Jew. Okay? Now, if y'all don't know what that means, like Jews think the pigs are unclean, right? That's a part of their ceremonial law. So, what does that mean? Like, every time he takes care of a pig, he's unclean. And he's feeding the pigs. Now, some of y'all are from, like, Nebraska and Iowa and Ohio. Maybe. Yeah, y'all know what pigs eat. No, y'all eat the pig. Never mind. I do that, too. I love bacon. Okay, so, pig slop, right? Not only is he taking care of the pig, but he's looking at it and going, I am so hungry, I want to eat that, it looks good. But nobody's giving him anything. And so it's in this moment where he's that far off, he's like that far gone that he says, I'm not worthy to be a part of the family of God. I'm not worthy to be a child of my father. I'm not his son anymore, but man, at least his workers, his servants have food. And so I'm going to go back, and he rehearses this, okay? He rehearses his lines, all right? So that he's going to try to figure out, how do I speak to the Father, okay? And it says in verse 17, I guess, in verse 17, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here? I'll rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as if I was a hired servant. And so he arose and he went to his father. And here's a moment, y'all. Like, no matter how distant you feel from your heavenly Father right now, no matter how disconnected you feel from your faith community, the Father arose as he came to, as the Son came to him, and as he came to his Father, it says, but while he was still a long way off, when the Son was coming down the road, while he was still a long way off. Now, somebody tell me, in order for him to notice him a long way off, what was the Father doing? He's watching. Y'all, he's watching. My sons and my daughters, I see them. While you're still a long way off, he runs. Now, most people don't realize what's happening in this moment, the shame that the Father has taken upon himself, because in a village context like this, what would happen if someone was cast out of the village like the Son was? He would be shamed. If he tried to come back into town, people would be trolling him from a distance. They'd be shaming him. They'd be punching him in the face and trying to beat him. I mean, seriously, they'd be spitting on him if he ever made it even close to the Father again. And the Father knows this. He knows the shame and the guilt. He knows what he's supposed to get. And so he runs to him while he is a long way off, because he was filled with compassion. This beautiful embrace, and he kissed him. Now, there's more to what happened in that moment. What does he do? He gives him a ring. What does the ring signify? But his identity. He's restored as a son. Like, no matter what happened while you were a long way off, right now, I restore you as a son. He's like, hey, give him a robe. He ain't got no clothes. He looks like a bum. We give him a robe. He looks like royalty now. He didn't have any shoes on his feet. Give him some sandals. We're going to kill the fattened calf. Texas, we just say, we're going to have a barbecue. Okay? That's how we say it. We're going to party. We got to celebrate. Okay? Because why? He's restored. And this is the heart of the Father, to restore those who are a long way off. Now, some of you are like, look, I'm always doing what I'm supposed to do. Like I'm in the grind, and I'm going to worship, and I'm trying to figure out, like, all these other people, why are we focusing so much attention on them? You don't have to raise your hand or anything. But some of us, we're like, man, yeah, I'm doing all the right things. I'm good. And this is the older son, right? Where is he at when the party starts? He's working in the fields. He's still working. Like, he's always doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's like living up to the expectations, at least he thinks, of the Father. And he hears that there's a party going on for that no good brother of his. And he actually goes a little further. He says to his father, that son of yours. Like, he won't even call him a brother. Son of yours has squandered everything. And then he comes home and you give him a fattened calf. It sounds funny. He says, "You never even gave me a goat." Yeah, that's like you didn't ever give me, I don't know, like a ham and cheese sandwich to party with. That's a bad example. I'll fix that for the next talk. I'm sorry. That was embarrassing. He's filled with resentment. And you know what the father was supposed to be doing? He's inside hosting the party. Now, I'm going to give you a little insight to a parent life. Okay? Okay. Some of the adults understand this. In the room, maybe you have kids, and none of y'all are like this. But when you have a bratty kid outside causing a ruckus, and you have to go outside, and you got to go try to sort that out, like, it's embarrassing, okay? You know why it's embarrassing? Not because the kid's a brat. And I know none of y'all are like this. I'm not talking about y'all, okay? Y'all have never done that, okay? But the parent feels like they've not done a good enough job as a parent. That's why you feel guilty. You feel, and you know what happens when you walk out and you're dealing with the kid outside? People inside? Oh, they're just filled with compassion, aren't they? Like, oh, look at that loving father. No, they're like, oh, my goodness. Can you believe that little Jimmy's out there causing a ruckus? I don't know why I picked Jimmy. Sorry for the Jimmys in the room. You go out there, the father, even for the older son who seemingly did everything just right, who's pitching a fit outside, he took on the shame. And what does it say he did? While the son was angry and refused to go in, his father came out and he entreated him. He pleaded with him. He had a conversation with him. Knowing that everybody inside would be talking trash, he took on that shame and that guilt. Why? Because he wants his sons to be close to him. And he'll go wherever he has to go to meet them where they are, and to draw them in. Amen? Okay, so this is where it gets real. All right? Let's go over to Colossians. If we're honest, you, who once were alienated and hostile, doing evil deeds, that's me. I'm just talking for me. Maybe you relate. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh. Who's he? This is the Sunday school answer. Y'all get a chance. Jesus. Yes! Jesus. His body of flesh by his death. And then, y'all, this is starting to get to where it's not just about temporal, but eternal. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach, holy, set apart, filled with the glory of God, like the stuff that you could never get achieving anything here on this earth. And so when you don't, it doesn't depend on that, right? But God is doing the work so that he could reconcile you and he can present you as holy and blameless and above reproach. And so ultimately what we're learning is that suffering sinners need their suffering Savior in a bad way. In a bad way. And that's exactly what Jesus did. A kind of suffering that's far beyond any of the scheduling conflict pressures that we experience. And that's not to diminish how hard they are, but to elevate how hard his was. Like that he would suffer fully so that your shame and your guilt would be removed from you. And what is he trying to provide in doing this? A lot of the same things that Jesus shared with us in the parable. Like he's trying to give you an identity. You know what we do with our sports? We get our shirts. We've got our logos, we've got our school mascots, and we have an identity for a season. And it's powerful. We're drawn into that. It gives us a community, a place to belong, where we'll gather together, we'll chase after goals together, we'll achieve dreams together. with each other until we don't anymore. And a sense of purpose, you know, like to impact the world, not so much, but maybe to impact your team and your school for a short season. Yeah, that happens. And what God is trying to do is expand that out for you and to expand your scope of view. Not so narrow, just on one aspect of your life, but zooming way out so that you can see that He has an identity for you. You are His sons and you are His daughters. You are children of the one true King, the creator of the universe, where He holds all things together, right? Like He has claimed you and says, I want you a part of my family, part of my team. We're going to get shirts to say Team Jesus. That's already been done. It's already been done. Okay? And as we're in that community, this is key because we'll go through ups and downs in all kinds of ways. But we can divide each other's burdens together. It's been so beautiful to see some of you all doing that with your peers that are with you even in the last few days. Like going through hard times and you all walk alongside of each other. This is the body of Christ. It's so great. Okay? And a sense of purpose. To impact the world. I'll say it this way. I never thought that going through sports would result in standing in front of 1,000 high school students and their leaders just to share a word of encouragement. But God does stuff. And He's going to use things. And He's going to work in you and through you to have a positive impact in other people's lives. And it could be your teammate. Could be your coach. It could be your teacher. I mean, you can do that even now, all right? So here's the invitation in the midst of all the fatigue, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the pressure that is there. Jesus is coming to you, and He's saying this from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest not just for your bodies, but for what? For your souls, for the deepest part of you, the part that has this God hole in it that will not be satisfied by your success in your sport. And Jesus says, I want to give this to you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there's another paraphrase of this that I'd like to share with you. It's touched my heart and it's helped me to think about this passage in ways that kind of brings it to heart for me. Okay, it's the message. Are you tired? Anybody? Yeah. You worn out? Some of y'all are like, yeah, you're making me want to take a nap. Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And here's the powerful part, I think, that speaks into some of what you all were sharing. He says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The rhythms of grace. So some of you are like, how in the world do we do this? How do we strengthen our relationship with God? Now, I'm going to tell you that you already know how. You already know how. Because you all know exactly what it's like to be disciplined and commit to something. You do it all the time. And I'm here to tell you that it's not really all that different. Okay? So daily rhythms. Daily dwell in God's word. No excuses. I want to hear it. I said it. How many of y'all got a cell phone? Yeah. You get the YouVersion Bible app, minimally could give you the verse of the day every single morning. And y'all are like, oh, no time for this. You know, I know you say it because I say it. Okay? And God's coming and saying, hey, come to me. Would you start with me? Let me start your day. Keep it simple. Do a verse and just let it fill you. So yeah, daily, daily. You practice every day for a sport, then daily get in the Word, all right? Pray every day in every circumstance with people, peers too. Pray. Talk to God. He's the creator of the universe. You got issues and problems and excitements, and he wants to hear about all of them because he loves you a lot. So you just have to talk to him. And as you talk to him, you know what he does? He speaks back, and he does it in a weird way sometimes. Now, I don't know if he's going to give you an angel, okay? I can't promise that. But sometimes he sends a whole lot of awesome people. And he'll give you a word, maybe a song that you hear, and he'll speak, okay? Weekly. So there's a daily rhythm, there's a weekly rhythm. All right, you got game day, you got rhythms for those kinds of things that are more like weekly oriented. So there's the same thing. Weekly study scripture with peers. You all are so wisdom filled. It's been so cool to hear your responses. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Y'all are stinking smart, man. Now, I'm not going to accuse everybody, okay? I can't do that. But when you share that with one another, it's powerful. Y'all remember how I got to a church? Not geometry. Although that is the weirdest part of that. A friend. It wasn't a youth worker. It wasn't a pastor. It was a friend. You just share faith conversations together. You can do that. You can do that right now. Every week, get together with peers. And if you can't do it on Sunday, guess what you can do? There's 1,000 athletes in this room right now. Y'all can split up wherever you go back home and be like, we're going to meet once a week and we're going to read scripture together. Can you do that? Yes. Yes, you can. You don't have to wait for a scheduled Sunday experience. You could do that too, by the way. Pastors and DCEs in the room. You could do it on Sunday too. But if you can't, you don't have to do it just on Sunday. Amen? Okay, we got this. All right. Worship with people in person. I said it. Yeah. You know why you got to do it in person? You can't hear people singing next to you in your living room or in your earbuds. They can't encourage you. They can't hear you. Maybe that's good. I don't know. Okay, but there's an energy that comes with 20,000 people getting inside of the same space and, you know, just stirring each other on. It doesn't have to be 20,000. It could be 50, 100, a couple hundred. It's different when you're together. It is. You can't get away from it. Okay, and there's a reason the Father celebrated the Son's coming back and being a part of the family. Okay? So, hey, worship with people in person as often as possible. As often as possible. Okay? Take advantage of an off season. Lean into Jesus. Do a mission trip. Go to worship every week. Oh. Hey, y'all know that if we say a survey and say regularly worship, do you know what our culture defines that as? Like once every 6 weeks. I'm just here to tell you that's not regular. It's not regular. Regular is when it's rare that you don't go. Okay? But what's the point? So you can be filled and encouraged, and you can do the same for others as well. You do this in your sport because you do it in your faith life. And seek out a mentor. Now, I'm going to be honest about this one because I already mentioned it. It may not be your parents. Okay? It was not my parents. God chose to use like a stained glass window mosaic of people in my life. And it's a person of each of those roles had a different part at a different time. Like you guys seek out people in your life to be a faith mentor to help walk you through. What's your plan? What kind of encouragement do you need? And when they speak a God-filled, Holy Spirit-led wisdom into you, then lean in. Receive that. It's like a coach. When they give you words of encouragement or correction, you take it to heart and you try to apply it to your life. You guys already know the way. This is not supposed to be about Baby Yoda either. Okay, so back to Colossians and Corinthians. Paul writes about this rhythm in this way. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one does what? Yeah, there's only one winner. What's second place? Yeah, I knew you'd say that. First loser, so run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So if that is the way that you would discipline yourself for your sport, Paul is saying to a bunch of athletes, discipline yourself. He says he disciplines his body and he keeps it under control. What does he do? He doesn't run aimlessly. He's not boxing as one beating the air. But he keeps his body under control. Why? So that he's not disqualified. So there's discipline to that. All right, you guys already know how to do these things. And I'm here to share with you that even in your Colossians passage that we're wrestling with, it's like, put on then what? As God's chosen ones. That's identity. Holy and beloved. Compassionate hearts. Kindness. We're all asking, how do I compete and also honor God? Here's the playbook. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Any of those things easy all the time? I love the laugh. It's good because it's not easy all the time. It's hard all the time. So we need God to help us do that and Jesus to show us the way. Bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. It goes on to say, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. It's one body. Be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That daily rhythm, the scriptures dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another. You can do that together in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father through him. It's a playbook. It's saying all the same things, right? And by the grace of God, he can help us to apply these things to our life. I want to share two quick things, last things with you. I asked some of our youth to say, hey, if you were going to encourage somebody, an athlete, in one way that you could come, they could come to this, what would you say? And I love it because as I was asking you all what was on your heart and mind, the Holy Spirit did a thing. This is Jack. Jack says, my faith has impacted my life as an athlete because I know that whatever happens, I don't have to worry because God has already written my story. And at the end of the day, win or lose, I'm still a child of God. That's identity. And his grace is sufficient for me. Bonus, he gives you scripture to go look up later. You should write that down right now. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I didn't tell him to write that. He's spitting wisdom for you. I love it. Okay? And this is Annika. We are all going to struggle as athletes, whether it be in our sport or in our faith. Just know that we are all going through it. So keep playing your game, but also keep God close to your heart because he will help you through it all. You know, through all the ups and downs of my adventures as an athlete, I've wrestled in so many ways trying to figure out, like, who am I? And why am I just a jack of all trades and a master of none? But I didn't change the PowerPoint while we were talking. The greatest revelation that I have had is that I'm really just a jack of all trades with a master of one. And I don't have to worry about what any of you all think about the way I do or don't play a sport well or anybody else. Because I know that what I do now, I do to the best of my ability to glorify God. And I love it. Absolutely love it. And as I sometimes still struggle remembering this, God is good to provide people like you in my life to share the words like Jack and Annika got to share earlier. To say, hey, we can do this. God is with you. This doesn't define you. So, as we're leaving this place today, I'm wrapping up. As we're leaving this place today, I hope that you would remember that you, in fact, are a child of God. God has come to you where you are, no matter what you've done, to redeem you and to take away your shame. I pray that you would lean into the body of Christ that is gathered around you. And I pray that you would know that even now, God has plans to impact the world through you, because Jesus Christ is in all things every day. Amen.